Now we're up to Sif Lamed Daled here in Kavsadi Ches. At the end of last week, I mentioned that there's a tumult that goes back to the Marsham about 100 and over 100 years about the cement of the walls of the mikveh, as to whether they're allowed to have the metal rods that are typically put in cement to make it stay hold together, and they pour
rebar.
Spell it R-E? Rebar. Okay. So when you see them pouring a tall building with cement, they put in the metal rods to, I guess, give the cement more staying power. So there was a tumult over this, whether it's mutter. I mentioned it because I noticed in the Pesachei Tshuva Yutes, when he talked about having boards on the bottom of the mikveh, he mentioned that there was some sefer where the boards were held together with metal. Some sefer says it makes it worse. If it's held together with metal, it's a davar makabel tumah, and it makes it worse. And it's not really directly related to the tumult over the metal and the cement, because the metal and the cement is not a davar makabel tumah, it's mechubel karka. And the Marsham in an early tefillah prohibited it. He said it's like a keli. Once you put metal into the cement walls, it's something that could, in theory, be picked up and put back. It has its own staying power. And in later tshuvas, he seemed to back off from that issur. So I believe the minhag today is not to put in the metal rods, although it's very hard to justify a reason to aser. It's mechubel l'karka, and it's made to be mechubel l'karka, which the ikar adin is that it's good. And really, the place where it is in Siman Reish Aleph, where this is discussed. So I don't know if we'll ever learn Hilchos Mikvayos, but
it doesn't have Shabbat.
It's not Makabel Tuma. Calls a man, it's Mechuber, it's not attached. The problem is Gemara of a Basra that says that that for Mikvayos Dairaisa, for Tefillah Dairaisa, we're Machmer even. If someone's a Kalim, you can say if when Machmer is called Kalim, even though it's not a Kabbal Tumah but a Mechuber. But for their Isis, the Gemara seems to say when Machmer even on Kavai Lubsev Chakakai, which means it's not a Kali when it's not Kavua. Shulchan Aruch doesn't pask in that way. It's a very unusual Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Aleph for Rekiv Eger, and they behoove to say the Shulchan Aruch is not like the Gemara, and therefore they say Yesh Lahachmer. A very strange situation, Siman Reish Aleph, but okay. So it's really not our sugya. Well, we're up to Sif Lamed Daled. We're at the end now of Halacha Hilchos Chatzitza. The truth is, what we're learning now is more in the Eifen HaTfila, the manner of tivling, than the Ikar Dinei Chatzitza. Lamed Daled leSitfa b'makom sheyesh chashash yeruah b'nei Adam. A woman should not be teveles in a place where she's afraid people might see her. Because if she does so, she's not medagdekes in her tefillah. The chatzila, she shouldn't go in a place where she's afraid. Now, it's a little hard to understand. We're going to say later that a woman who tevels is supposed to have someone there to make sure that she's totally submerged in the water. So what exactly are we afraid of if there's somebody watching her? So it seems we can still be afraid she'll press her lips together too tight. There are things that you stand by the mikveh, you can just make sure she's under the water. But that she has the presence of mind to do everything the way she's supposed to do it is a little more tricky. So it says, l'chatchila, she shouldn't travel in a place she does, goes quickly.
Isn't this obvious? I mean, why do we have to have this in the Shulchan Aruch? Isn't this obvious situation? A person should not put herself in a situation where she has to rush.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a bit of a chiddush. It's a Gemara, so he brings it, but. The thing is that once upon a time, it wasn't. Mikvahs were not as available as they are today, and even today, in far flung places, they're not as available. Yeah, it's true. The Rav Feivel Kohen, the Badi Ashulcha, brings other examples of this. He says, for example, if you're titling in a place where there are a lot of frogs, A woman will be meheres litvoil. Okay. Or he says if it's very cold, she'll be meheres litvoil. So it's very nice in the 21st century to talk about a woman lechatchila not toiling in something cold. I don't know exactly in what they did in communist Russia and other places, but at any rate, it's not ma'akiv. But you have it also a tefillah. All right, Lamed Hey is one of the difficult sifim. Lamed Hey, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin are the halachis of the position a woman has when she tivels. You know, men go to a mikveh, you just run in, you get dressed, you jump in the water, you jump out of the water. You know, it's not a tefillah deraisa. We're not so machmer. By tefillah deraisa, like a nida, like we'll all tivel, Mashiach will come and Taurus will be nageya, and we'll all have to do a tefillah with the proper iyun and the proper hachana. So this sif will be nageya. Now here the question is the position of the body during tefillah. Why is that an issue? A man goes in, you dunk, you come up, you're finished. Because at any time, different parts of the body are covered. The underarms are covered when your hands are like this, and not when your hands are like this. You have to tivel like this. You have to spread your legs far apart. Parts of the body cover each other. And the question is, which parts have to be exposed? We know that parts that are normally covered are considered to be beis hastarim. They only need roi l'bias mayim. They don't need bias mayim. So the question is, what position a person has to be in during tefillah? I'd like you to read the entire sif lamed hey with me, and then we'll discuss it. Let's just read through the entire lashon. Lo'sitfo b'kaymis akufa. A woman should not be tivel standing. In other words, in very deep water, and just go in standing till the water is over her head. No, don't tivel that way. Ne'shiyesh b'kaymis shemistatrim ba. When a person stands fully erect, there are parts of the body that are covered. Also, v'altishcha harbe. She shouldn't bend down too much. If she tivels in very shallow water, you have to bend down very much. When you bend your body, your stomach bends over itself. Ella. So what is the proper way? So listen carefully. You bend a bit. So that, in the leg area, that area should be exposed in the manner Oireches means when a woman needs dough. Today, women don't need dough. They just put it in a machine. But a woman who needs dough has to get her elbow grease into it. So she's got to, can't be fully standing and eating. You got to sort of bend down. You go to the matzah baker, you see the knater, you see he takes a battle position, you know, when he's knating. So she should be in a position like when she needs the dough. And, via tachas dadeha, a woman's breasts are on the body. The breast should be in a position the way it is when she's in a position to nurse. The underarms, when they weave standing, they are weaving looms where you sit and weave. And then they are weaving, when they weave big things like you learn Klal Gadol. I'm sorry, the Gemara is not Klal Gadol, it's not Zayvik. The Gemara says that they used to set up the chassis all up, and they threw the arim between the rows. This was set up on a standing place. So the underarm should be kedera shayreges behind them. So that's the underarm. Her underarms don't have to be fully exposed. Gam loy laharkik zrei seh me'aguf, not to distance her arms from her body. Yosemidai ela kedera shay beisilucha, the way you are when you walk. So, bekitzer, when a woman tivels, she has to be in the position of when she's kneading dough, nursing her child, weaving, and walking, all at the same time. It's very hot sif, isn't it? Very hot sif. This is what the Rabbi says. Vimshinsa, if she did any differently, also la tvila. First sheet says it works. Yeshmi shayim shalai also. Second sheet says it's no good. Archashulchan dismisses the second sheet of Lagamri. And the Chach Masadma says B'shas Hatchak, also La Tevila. But the Mechaber here needs some sort of an explanation, because the simple reading of the words is extremely confusing. He's telling you at the same time that she has to have the position she when she needs dough, the position when she weaves, and the position when she nurses, and the position when she walks. And that's very hard. I never saw the weaving, but it's obviously hands extended, right? The Beis HaShef, he says. And if you don't have enough, there's a fifth position in Taz Lamed Vav. Kasha'arga ba'imdim kachu b'gemara. Avalatur kasav. The Torah doesn't bring the Gemara's marshal. The Torah says, Kimoyseka Zaysin, like when she's pulling olives off the tree. By man it says Maisik Zaysin, by woman it says Iragas, Vitiris Meshatiris, and early. I turn this topic, Kiva di Isa. Now listen to this. Kiva di Isa it's on the Goim, Ka Iragas, Biad Yamina. When she weaves, she only stretches out her right hand. So the Torah is mesopic. Im dafkali yamin bein on shir, l'smal loikolom. You just have a mina. It's mind-boggling. That a chatzitza in her right hand has to be the way she's a regas. And the left hand, we're not makbid. Or maybe not. And it's really both hands. So you don't want to say a regas, which you do only with the right hand. So the people who think the left hand, you only need the right hand, that way not the left hand. Okay, not because you're in the psika, like Abi Yisha, Chadam Yisha, picking Zaysim. I guess you pick Zaysim with two hands. You always pick Zaysim with two hands. No? I don't know. It's extremely, extremely confusing. And what? And also, what's the difference between the right hand and the left hand? Why would anybody think that there's a difference between the right hand and the left hand? So this is something of an issue. It's compounded a little by the next two sif. Let's first talk about this sif. And I'll tell you the way when we learned this, I can't say for certain. When we were learning sif lamed hay, and really we're going to see lamed vav lamed zayin rayas to this. The question is the following: when we say, for example, bishoshi oireches. How much of her arms and her legs have to be exposed? So we say when you stand upright, the legs are close to each other and there's more part of the body covered. That's not good. The legs have to be spread a bit. So k'dera shi'ay reches. So our suffix was, now listen carefully, when we say k'dera shi'ay reches, is that a simen or a siba? What I mean is the following. Is it that Chazal said a certain part of the body has to be exposed? And they said, how am I going to explain this to people? How much has to be exposed? Oh, so a woman who's Zayreches has a certain amount exposed. That's a simen l'davar. I'm giving you a simen. You want to know how much? The amount that a woman is Zayreches. That's what we say when we mean a simen. Okay. A siba would mean that why kedera she Zayreches? Because a woman has to be, we learned in the beginning of Hilchos Chatzitza, that things that are, let's say, a ring on a finger, she wears it all the time, except when she needs dough. So that's a chatzitza. Chatzitza is something which is sometimes in the routine behavior, is sometimes exposed. So here also, maybe oireches is a siba. The reason that part of her body has to be uncovered is because when she needs dough, that chelek hagof is uncovered. So then it would be a nafkamina. If it's a siba, the reason it's being exposed is because women are ma'areches. Then today, women never need dough today. They use machinery to knead dough. So then maybe you don't need ma'areches. Then maybe the position changes. This is a fundamental question in the pshat in Sif Lamed Hei. Is pshat in Sif Lamed Hei that these are simonim to the part that have to be exposed? Or is it a siba l'davar? It's an explanation.
But
tell you Lamaisa. It's not saying because. It's not saying because of that. It could be that. Huh? The Beis HaErva means between the legs. How much has to be exposed?
Yeah, it's just like a leaning position.
It's a squatting. It's more of a squatting position. Well, maybe. I mean, why when it comes to the Beis HaErva, it says that. And when it comes to the Beis HaShechi, it says Ireges, because I guess Ireges more is exposed. I don't know. More is exposed. So I'm not sure. I think we're going to have rayas to this, that we'll see in the Siflam and Zai is the main place where we seem to have a raya to this. So don't take my word for it, we'll get into it. But I think the idea is she has to be in a normal position, Bishas Tefillah. She has to be in a normal. Now, standing is also a normal position. Lying flat on your back is also a normal position. What type of normal position is exposure? So we mention all of these different types of positions which are normal positions. Does it mean that the woman has to have all four positions simultaneously? It's very hard to understand. The key here is the lashon of the Chachmas Adam. The Chachmas Adam, when he brings this halacha, he says that the woman has to be in water, which is a certain height. We'll see in Sif Lamed Vav, a zeres above the roughly 10 inches above the navel. And the lashon of the Chachmas Adam is a woman who squats in the water, when the water is that high, memela, she's in a position which is similar to Kshi'ayreches Isa, Kshi'ayreches, memela, she's going to be in such a position. When she squats in that way, the hands don't stay straight by the side. When you squat, your hands spread a little bit, your legs spread a little bit, and the dadim spread a little bit. The lashon of the Chachmas Adam is that this is all Mekoyim by a proper shkia, by a proper bending down. A person who bends down properly, memela, is in such a position. And the admonition is only shaloi, like the end of the sif. If shinsa, kagai, shishasa b'yaiser, isaac for b'yaiser, she squatted too much, or stood erect too much, and then also tefillah v'yeshmanesha shaloi also. But it doesn't mean that all of the pratim of everything that was said here has to be exactly. It has to be a normal position. And these are the normal positions. An oifin, that's normal. So the thing, what I meant to say, with the right arm and the left arm, the Torah's the stopik, says the Taz, if only the right arm has to be exposed and the left hand too. If it's a Siba, if the reason that the right arm has to be exposed is because women are oireges, and they expose their right arm more than their left. If it's a Siba, then it's only the right arm, not the left arm. The left arm, they don't hold it in such a position. If it's just a Simin, if it's only meant as a marshal of how much has to be exposed, there's the right hand and the left hand. I think most of us would not think it's mistaver that when a woman tovels, the right underarm has to be more exposed than the left underarm. I don't think anybody would, it would be most of the tmiya to everybody. No, am I right?
It has to be so, Simin, because it says Shaniris. B'shas Shehita. It doesn't say doing it. It just says it appears like it.
Yeah, it's just a very confusing sif. I'm glad the women don't learn this before they go to Eivel. They get themselves all. They'll be obsessed.
They can't chew gum at the same time. Also, otherwise they'll be totally.
Can't chew gum with your Eivel. That's for
no,
sure.
No, that's what that says.
So anyway, this is the confusing. What? It's what. Yeah, she could chew gum and not chila. Yeah, okay.
The woman is left-handed, sure. She does her riga differently.
If she's a left-handed, she'll dispose her left arm, it's not a stab. So I think the understanding is that these are all simanim ledavar. And the point is, she has to be in a normal position, and whatever is a normal position is adequate. Now, Taz Lamed Ches deals with an obvious question. Kashali, Lama Yisil V'Dieved. Why, if a woman is not in a perfect position, should apostle? We said many times over the last 2 weeks that there's a halacha of mayi magdimin. If water is there and then you press down on a spot, it's not a chatzitza. The folds of the body have water that come first. You know, let's say a woman bends down too much. Before she got to a too much bent down position, her body was exposed and the water was there first. The Torah held that even sticky tit on your feet is not a chatzitza because mayim magdimin. Certainly here it shouldn't be a chatzitza. The only problem here will be if a part of a body is folded before it comes into the water. So therefore, before she enters the water, a fold in the body, the arm is against her body, she goes down. Because an etza. If a woman's afraid she'll bend down too much, she's nervous about it, first go into the water standing straight until her neck. And then, after she squats, she's afraid she'll bend down too much, it's no problem. It's my magdima to the place she bends down. Says everybody should do this, it's a maila. Notice he's saying this. Why are we afraid if a woman bends too much? Her stomach will bend over itself. And it'll be a chatzitza in a base of starim. But if it's my magdimen, if the water's there first, it's no problem. So a person stands straight in the water and then bends. So the water is there in the fold of the body before the bending. And mamela, it's good.
Until the neck.
Until the neck. Because there are no folds in the head.
If she's standing straight, we said we're going to say that the water is only slower. So
she'll go down, she'll step down, go to a lower part of the mikvah, deeper part, and step back up. I guess that's what it means. You go into a river, you have a higher part and a narrower part, yeah, and a lower part. So I suppose that's what he means. So this is the, I didn't do the last few words because it's the next page on their copies. Anyway, this is the complicated mechaber on the position of tefillah, and I guess the less complicated lemaisa of how it is. It's quite confusing to go through all of the steps. The Rambam's notion even more confusing. Rambam's bekitza titfol kederet gedilasa kederet shemeinekes kederet shemeges kederet shemeches. That's his whole notion. It's very bekitzer shetayvel with all these positions. Very confusing.
They shouldn't teach this to the women.
These are positions that are the rule. And when she's in the water and she squats normally, she will automatically have these positions. There are four positions all at once. By squatting, a person satisfies all of them. Right, but there's no requirement to stand. The Taz is saying this as a hider, that you should stand out somewhere and then be titled. But the Ikar HaDin is just to go into the water and title. And that's good. And bend down. During tefillah. Right. The only improper position is shachsa b'yaiser or zakfa b'yaiser. Too much bending, too much standing. He means even if she'll be shasi, I said, she's nervous. Maybe she's bending down too much, so she won't have to worry. The evidence will be good. Right. No, the choice is to go into shallower water, and then be tayvel, and then we're afraid as she bends, part of her body is covering itself in a way that when you get into the water, is too much. That's the fear.
To get
wet everywhere, they're standing. Yes.
No, no, that's put a comma there.
No, that way you never have to worry. Even you won't have to worry even with the yevet.
If you go into tavora, then the comma still the yevet.
All right. So that's Sif Lamed Hei. Now let's see Lamed Vav and Lamed Zayin, which are really a continuation of the question of position. Sif Lamed Vav. It's relatively simple. Sif tzar shia mikvah gavaya mimala tibura zeres lepachus. The word lepachus here is very important. It has to be a zeres at least. In other words, it could be higher, but the water has to be a zeres. A zeres is the furthest you could spread your pinky from your thumb, and that is half the distance from your elbow to the tip of your finger. You could try it. That's a zeres, and it's also called a sitkofel. Because the distance you can spread your pinky from your thumb is exactly double the distance you can spread your two fingers. When you're not in public, try it. You'll see it. It's pretty accurate. But the zeres is from the pinky. It's chatziyama. It's basically three tefachim. It's a chatziyama. Ramesh in Tshuva, in the first chalak of Yeridei, at the end of Kuvav, he asks, since when Shulchan Aruch used the lashon of zeres? Shulchan Aruch says ama, chatziyama, tefach. You should say chatziyama. Why did I say Lashon Zeres? So Ramesha says, it's coming to tell you that each woman, zeres, is something you carry with you. Each woman could measure on herself. She doesn't need the full chatziyama. Chatziyama, if you hold an amma, is 2 feet, and this is a foot. I don't know if this is a foot. By me, it's not quite 12 inches. So if this is a chatziyama, so each woman can measure by herself. She doesn't quite need the big shiurim that I mentioned. The Be'er Pesachei Tshuva mentions there's a struggle about exactly how big it is. 12 agoidlim, 10 agoidlim. Ramesh says 8 agoidlim. It doesn't have to be as much. If a woman is shorter, it goes by each woman. So this is the ideal water level for a woman during tefillah. Obviously, a mikveh has only usually has 2 levels. Usually has a step when you come down, then another step. So a woman has
to
the pachas.
So how high can it be?
Doesn't say a maximum height, because as long as she's shaycha, it doesn't really matter how high it is.
The overhead also.
Yeah. It's just that if it's too low, when she bends, she's gonna, her body will fold too much, and it'll be a chatzitish. Now Sifla Mitzayin is where it gets a little complicated. Yesh Misha Aimer She'afal Pi. I should mention the Sifla Mitzvav, the Chazainish is not so happy with the Zeres. He says that when it's a Zeres above the navel and a woman squats, if you picture it, it's much more of a squat than when you need dough. If you picture it on yourself, a Zeres above your belly button comes to about mid chest. You stand straight, and then you bend down to knead dough. That's a pretty deep bend to get to when you're bending your body.
You bend your knees down. What is
both, I guess. You don't stand straight and bend your knees. So it's both together. So I don't know. What? Right. But again, the idea is that I don't know. I think the idea is that there's a certain range that would be considered to be acceptable way that people normally go. Now this could happen sometimes the water in the mikveh is shallow and you have a problem, you're not able to get more water easily. The only way she could do this is in a lying position. Shapir Dami. So this Yesh Mishaimer, which the Pesachim accept, is that a woman who finds herself in a mikveh that's called Mayim Redudim in the Lashon of the Mishnah, water which is shallow across the bottom of the mikveh, she is allowed to go into the mikveh in a lying position, and in that way to be tayvel, to get herself totally under the water in such a position. And that position is also good. I think we all understand that type of position will cause other parts of the body to be in a different position than otherwise. I'm not sure exactly. How do you get all the bases started? So it is something of a challenge. Now here, first I have to tell you that both Rav Moshe and Tshuva, and really the Sidra Tara, are right that we're talking here about a face down position. I suppose a face down position by a woman is mostly for the dadim to be in an exposed position as much as possible. But they write it's a face down position. What's a bit of a pella is that the Aruch HaShulchan in Sivkot and Pehei says any position. She can be on her back, she can be on her side, or she can be face down. Now on her side is very hard. Your underarms are going to be. How do you align your side and expose your underarms? It's a very hard thing to understand.
You can expose your right underarm.
You align your left side and expose the right underarms. It's a very hard thing to understand. What? Well, it says Yesh Mishaimer, though. It starts with Yesh Mishaimer, and... Excuse me? He's learning that it's lav dafka. That's in any of those positions that it's good.
This whole siman arguing with the Yesh Mishaimer.
Now this sif I mentioned when I told you about Lamed Hay, sif Lamed Zayin seems to lend credence to the idea that it's not a siman. It's not that all things are a siman. That's like halacha Sinai, this has to be exposed, and these are simanim, oireges, and Ireches and Meinekes. No. The word is, she has to be in a normal position, what's considered to be a normal position for a woman. And whatever normal position is good. So if she's standing, this is a normal position that's exposed. If she's lying down, then that's a normal position that's exposed. And in a chinami, the Aruch HaShulchan certainly, we'll see what the others, will hold that that's good.
What happens in the water now, in the sea?
What?
In the sea, this one goes scared to go further out.
The sea. Down. Well, we would encourage her to go to where she has to be l'chadchila.
No, so much. She's stuck and she goes into the sea.
Yeah.
Closer.
Yes.
So that it's easier to lie down in the beginning. So it's scared she might go to, see if she might go further in the
go too far. Ground. So you get a lifeguard to go out with her. All right, nothing. Look, she won't do it. She won't do it. Ramesha writes, how much of a tircha do you have to go to avoid this? He says, hiluch mil. It's not a whole lot. To travel 18 minutes, if you have to travel 18 minutes to get into a regular mikveh, or you could go in a mikveh reidedes and toivel in a lying position, he says, up to hiluch mil. This is all in Yerdei Aleph Tshuva Kuvav. He says, that's how much you have to be matriyach. So obviously, he doesn't hold that it's such a gigantic bidiyevet. Now the shaila that Ramesha and the Sidri Tara, and we'll see if Pesach Shuvah Reish Aleph discuss here, is whether a woman who finds herself in a mikveh that's in between, let's say you have a mikveh that the water is till the navel, it's half the height of the person, is it better to tovel standing and just squat further than you would ideally do, or is it better to tovel lying down? Is it better to go with this Yesh Mishaimer and travel that way? Or is it better to go with an extra Shkia and do it like the Taz with Mayim Magdimin and try to do it B'derech Shkia? Which of the two is best? So here...
Are you saying that Ram Zion don't agree that has to be at least a Zerach
right?
We're talking when it's not. Lamed Vav says it has to be a Zeres. Lamed Zayin. Right. Elim Kepanea knows it's much less than a Zeres. Right. There's not enough water that she'll be able to be tovel unless she's Kavusha Bekarka. So it sounds like the water is 2 feet high, 3 feet high. That's what it sounds like. Now, here, again, we have the Aruch HaShulchan on his own taking a position that it's better to squat. He says, Anan Sadi, Tfilo kehaigavna gorua mishchia. He says, Anan Sadi, when you tovel in a lying position, that's worse than a squatting position. More of the body is exposed. When you lie down, the legs are not spread that much, the arms are not spread that much, the dadim are not spread that much. So the Aruch HaShulchan takes the position that it's better to squat more, obviously with Mayim Magdimin, than to do it lying down. The Sidrei Tara, though, this maybe you could do both, okay. The Sidrei Tara, and Ramesha's Matzik, the Sheet of the Sidrei Tara, holds that it's better to tovel in a lying position rather than Shchiya Meruba. In a Shchiya Meruba, Shulchan Aruch brought a Sheet of Eretz Ma'akiv. And in a lying position, the Shulchan Aruch just brought a shita that it's good. Now this should depend on a sif. See, it says here in parentheses, Ayla Kamon Reish Aleph Sif Samach Vav. Now you don't have it in the copies, but those have the Shulchan Aruch. In Reish Aleph Sif Samach Vav, it talks about a mikvah of water which is shallow. One of the things it tells you, there's a way to make the water become higher without adding water, and that is... Huh? Put more weight inside the mikveh. So it warns you not to raise the water with a davar makabel tuma. You think you'll take the benches in the mikveh, the chairs, throw it in, it'll raise the water level. So he says that's havaya de davar makabel tuma. You're making the mikveh through a davar makabel tuma, even though it's technically kosher beforehand. But then the Shulchan Aruch says that this is not kosher in the mikveh. So it says chavila yetzim. Because Shulchan Aruch brings it. You're remembering it from there's a Mishnah in Mikvahs. Mikvah shemeba mispashtim. It says a mikvah whose water is spread out and shallow. Ve'yachol es kasis bay. Leisin loy b'tzad echad avonim ay chavila yetzim. K'deshit b'tzumeim av amokim echad v'yalu bin yishachol es kasis bay. So that's the suggestion. Samach vav. In Reish Aleph, sisamavav. So that's what it says, a way of raising. Avol bekelim possible, but you can't raise it with kelim. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama says, afilu yichayla liskasis b'mayim. Im ein amayim amukim ad tibura ulamayla mimenu zeres. If the water is not up to the navel and a zeres above that, loititful balachatchila, shav loititful yafa. Lachatchila, you shouldn't tovel in such shallow water, you may not tovel well. Miyum ein mikvah acheres, v'yeshul asakin. If there's no other mikvah and you have no way of throwing in rocks to raise the level, afilu tzricha lishtateach alpaneha mitachas she'ein mayim amukim imiskasa gufa b'dera zeh b'pamachas. If she can do it, get her body under the water in one time, then it's an adequate tefillah. What?
Lying down,
yeah. So it seems clear from here that lying down is far preferable than to squatting, not like Darach HaShulchan, but like Sidrei Tara says.
This would seem to go against what Moshe said, "Don't go, I have to go on the hill." It looks like this is Mamshi.
Well, it depends on what it means. Im ein mikvah, im ein.
It looks like. Yeah.
The Pisrei Tshuva, the Mem Beis, talks about a woman who could be tovel by alachsoin. She could tovel at an angle, if that's better than in a lying position. He says, Chalila lahiresein. It's Chalila to paskin by alachsoin. She kamamiya nimna, it's very difficult. Bufrat l'noshim shetaitam kalois, iktesha two ways. Bufrat to all women who are all daitam kalois, or it means bufrat l'noshim shetaitam kalois, especially, except those women who are daitam kalois. I guess it depends who you're speaking in front of, how to taitch it. Anyway, but he says, to do it the way he says to Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says lying, and Shulchan Aruch says zeres. It doesn't say to taibu balachsai. So that's Darach HaShulchan's question. Inenu Raya, not Sadi, he says that's not that way. So it's a problem. How could lying be better? Even lying face down. So that's why I think the key here is to understand that the Nakuda is the tefillah has to be in a position which is a normal position for a woman to be. Now, a normal position, standing in an erect position, is also normal. So the level of normal has a certain range, just like the level of chatzitza does. So it has to be the normal standing position which exposes the most, which is the way we said earlier, squatting. But if she's lying, that's a separate position. It's also an acceptable position. That's what it seems to be from the Shulchan Aruch. Now here, now this seems to be the halacha l'maisa. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have mikvahs available, and women, they squat, we don't make them crazy about position. We tell them to go zeres or more l'mayla mitibura. Remember, zeres is a minimum, and to squat in a normal squatting position, and we assume that it's adequate. We had the shaila with the tevila of a ger katan, a baby. You take a baby, and you're doing a tevila, a ger whose parents were megayer, so a ger katan, you're megayer along with the parents. And not only Magaya along with the parents, but you even make a bracha. Even though the child at age 12 or 13 could back out, we assume that the child will go with it. And the thing is even to make a bracha on Tefillas Geirim at that time. So I was once with Rebelsky and Abez, and we did a tefila of a ger katan here in the neighborhood. And at the time, it didn't dawn on me these few sifim. So the way we did it, it was a tiny baby, I don't know, maybe 3-month-old baby. And the father went into the mikvah first. It was Mayim HaKdimin. He wetted his arms and put the baby, obviously undressed, in his arms. And then lowered the baby gently into the water. And it's an amazing thing that the baby instinctively holds her breath. A baby being lowered slowly into water, you would think starts coughing water. But I don't know, just lowered into the water and the baby somehow instinctively holds its breath, is totally under the water, and then is lifted up and out of the water. So what?
Diving reflex.
So who gave this baby the diving reflex? God gave it together with the together with everything else. So what? It disappears at a certain age. I think when you're able to be afraid, probably. But my point is, learning this sif, is that 1 minute, what about the kvatim in the body? What about spreading the legs, spreading the arms? You just title the baby in a normal position. What about all these sifim? Unless, like I'm saying now, it has to be a normal position. Babies don't need dough, and babies don't weave, and babies don't. So for a baby, the normal position is good. Maybe that's the idea. I don't know. The Dieved Shchia B'Yaiser is okay, yeah. To a certain degree, I don't know if he holds, you know, if you hold your hands close against the body, but he says Shchia Muetes, yeah, he says it's not mad. So, okay. Even Lechatchila? What? By Tefillah, not all the way, then you would just, Shchia Muetes, a small bow, a small amount of squatting. You know, a catcher squats very much. Not that much. Less. All right, so these are the three sifim that deal with the position of tefillah. As a rav, I've never had anybody ask the shailas. I guess the women are taught it calmly, and if you learn the sifim, you get very nervous about it. Lamaches and lamates are simple. The only thing about lamaches and lamates is the difference in language. Now, I wanted to point out to Taka, why when a woman titles, she could close her eyes. It's a normal position to have your eyes open. Why are you allowed to close your eyes? It seems like I was saying that any normal position is acceptable. Right? Any normal position is acceptable. So it's also a normal position. Someone tied it, it's a normal position in water to have your eyes closed. Maybe that's the bug. A person sleeps, not most of the day.
But they make
them
lying down, then you can
keep your eyes. All right, Sif Lamitches. Ain't it Srichel of Tayak Piyat. She is not required to open her mouth so water could go in. And before you laugh at it, you should know that Tosfos Shita is that she does open her mouth. We don't pass it that way. You don't close the mouth too tightly. If kafsa, she pressed her lips together too tightly. Like also Latvila, Ella Toshik Dibug Bainani. Tell you the most important thing a woman has to be aware of when she tivels is not to press the lips too tightly together. A dibug bainani, a relaxed holding. That's siflamites, is the lips. Siflamites, the same thing, but the eyes. Laisatsu may now be yiser. She shouldn't press her eyes shut too tightly. Val tiftachem be yiser. Vim osasakein. Yeshayim rim shloi also latvila. Now here it's a little strange. By closing the mouth, it says, what? If you open your eyes too much, then you cause the kamatim on top of the eyes to be, the eyelids to be too tight. So it's funny that in Sivlam et ches, by the mouth, it says loy osu latvila. In Sivlam et ches, it says yeshayim rim shloi also latvila, beis day es betor. So that the Shach Nun Aleph points out, by the mouth, you say some that it's b'di'evin ma'akim, and here you say yeshayimrim. Lekoshamidi, the filaman the palikan, by the bekitzes of seisah, the masnisani, ugedizah b'chal apayskim. The mouth is more of a problem when you press your mouth together. More of the lips are covered than when you close your eyes too tightly. B'chel kosamaran zelushaynai. What is the difference between the eyes and the mouth? When you close your eyes, you think about it, you press your eyes closed, it doesn't really cover much more. By the lips, it's more likely. So really, the woman has to be nizhar, this heres in this in.
No.
If it's Maya Magdiman, then it's good. You're right. It's usually Maya Magdiman. Unless she closes her eyes tightly, unless she does it before she gets into the water, in which case it's more of an issue. Okay, Sif Mem. Sarach Lahamed Al Gaba Yehudis Gedayla. And this is a halach in Shulchan Aruch that you have to have a mikvah lady. You have to have a person there, B'shas Tefillah, Yehudis Gedayla, Yaisim Yud Beishanav Yemechad, not a Ketana. Why? So the Gra brings, because by Ischazik Yisura, A katan is not neman, and she's a schazak isura. She's a nida. So therefore, Yosef Yosef Yemecha B'shashi Tevelas. Now, what's the purpose of the mikvah lady? Shatira Shola Yishar Misar Roishat Tzafa Pnei Hamayim. That's the reason. Today in the mikvah they check the nails. They do more. But the ikar halacha is to make sure that the hair is totally submerged in the water. V'me'elam yishatamid al-gaba. Is it ma'akiv? She doesn't have anybody. Oishuhu balayla. Or it's a night. It's hard to tell. So there's no lights. Tachrich sara al-raisha b'chutei tzemer oi b'ritzua sheb'raisha. V'vavad shetirfeim. She should hold it down with something, but it should be loose. The water can get in. Oi b'shar shereisha l'chutin chalulais. Or with a mesh. Now she really has to be chayshish for the hair not being totally submerged. It's a halacha, it's not a practical thing. Not just a practical thing, it's a halacha that she has to be chayshish. And mameila, she has to do something, either to have a mikvah person there, or to have something to hold the hair. Down Agav, we see it was not the normal practice to shave the hair before mikvah. Now here, what? It's not a problem. You have to go down in the water deep enough. No, that's if no one's watching. But if someone's watching, just make sure she goes down deep enough that the hair, is covered. Now, a woman who doesn't have an issue of sar sounds like she doesn't need a lady at all. Now, what? It could be that's the reason. I don't know. I heard different versions that they shaved because of chatzitza. Or that they shave the head, so you shouldn't have a taiva not to cover the hair. So I've heard both reasons. The thing is that most of them shave after the Bi'er Rishayna. The first mikveh, they still have their hair. So it's not so mustaver that it's al chatzitza. So I don't know. So Sefer brings the minig, it's not a new minig. Sefer talks about the minig. Now, they shouldn't have a Yetzirah to leave their hair uncovered. Like a lot of the ladies in Flatbush have a Yetzirah. I don't know what the Yetzirah is. They look so beautiful because in front of the Shaitel they leave an inch of hair out. Makes them look adorable. I don't know.
Could her husband watch her?
Oh, so that's an interesting Shaila. In the Pisrei Tshuva, Kuf Tzadikei has a Shaila what to do if there's no mikvah lady. And it happens. You're out of town. You have to make an appointment. You have to get a mikvah lady. If there's no mikvah lady, could the husband go with the wife to the mikveh? What's the issue? The issue is that you're not allowed to look at a wife, a mekaymes megulin of a wife during the time she's a nida. So there, the Pisrei Tshuva in Sivkotin Beis brings the Tshuvas Noidim Yehuda, Kuf Tzadik He, Sivkotin Beis, Ishvi Isha Adar Bekfar Ve'esham Yehudia Yehuda Zulas Azug Levadom. You have a couple that lives out in the sticks. They live in a place where there's nobody. In Mut. Now, last Shabbos, I had a guest, nothing to do with dynamic voice. I had a guest from Yid. They live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They're in a town where there is not a minyan of from people. And he's a real Ben Tyra. He's from Ray for 20 years. They became Bala Tshuva 20 years ago. They still live there. He's a doctor there. He's there with the Amish. And he's a doctor there. He doesn't want to leave. Yes, he has a good practice. He's a part of the community. And he travels for Shabbat. They don't have a minyan anymore. They had a minyan for many years. They have a rav and a shul, but there's no minyan on a regular basis. On the weekdays, no minyan at all. Shabbos sometimes, not a minyan of Shemesh Shabbos. And he's nice now. I mean, he's a yid out. Took about a yid in the middle of nowhere. And a from guy with, he made a siyam hashas with siyam hashas. And he has a son who lives in Yerushalayim. He's a rebbe in Yerushalayim. What? Yeah, they used to drive them. There were three form families with children, and they said they used to drive every morning. They had carpool. They drove an hour and 15 minutes, back and forth. I told them, big deal, our kids sit on the bus an hour and 15 minutes also, just going in circles and Flatbush. But anyway, getting back here, my point is only, this happens, people travel, and there's no mikvah person available, and the shaylas of the man could be this. And the Rebbe Yehuda has this shayla, and it's very interesting what he says. And listen to the lashon. Im yochol letamcha biyadav ledach potachas hamayim. If he is allowed to push her under the water, what is cold? She's hesitating. So he wants to give her a push to make sure she goes under. So he says, "Mitzara svara nira, kiven de isin negiya v'chein isin stak v'smukayim v'samuchasim hushama yavali dehergal davar." The Isser by Isha Nida is a Daraisa, but the Isser Daraisa is Loisikravu Legalis Erva, of coming close to Gili Erva. So he says, Dovasha Berega Zu, Berega Zel, sorry, Shield Dovah, Berega Zel, Loichashinon, Loishabeketera, should take a Berega Zemuteris Bali Yosem and Amayim. Here he says a svar, you need a Gondom Yisrael to say it, that right now she's Takatame, but in a second she's going to be Tar. So it's not like sikravu legali serva. It's not a matziv that's going to bring a person legali serva, because like shavet keteru v'avidi sura, in 2 seconds she's going to come up from the mikvah. L'chein im ef shebinyan acher yesh lahatir. So that's his pesach. His pesach is that it's mutar. I just want you to know, even to touch her, to push her under the water, koshkein, to stand over her, it's a night v'yehuda that's mekum. The way a Geyrus is tevil in front of a Bezdin is we have a sheet that we use. I have one in my house. My daughter once pulled the sheet out of the closet. It has a big hole in the middle of the sheet. She asked me, what's this? So it's a sheet for Tefilas Geyrus. I was involved. I'm not the person who's involved in being a guy or goyim. It's a specialty area, and a lot of Yetzirah is there. But I had a number of times from families in Flatbush, with children in Beis Yaakov's and children in regular yeshivas, who came to me with questions as to whether they were their grandmother or their mother. In one case, there was a geirus, and it was a chosin, the chosin kala. And the chassan, they were looking through her papers, they were engaged already. And the mother of the kala shows a geirus tzetel from the grandmother. So his heart went out, you know, geirus, the grandmother. So he brought me the paper. The girl was from here, the boy was grabbed from Maryland. But anyway, he brought me the geirus paper. I don't know, recognize any of the names. I brought it to Rebelski, and maybe he recognizes the names. So he was mefakfik a little. We did a geirus mesafik. At another case with a family in Flatbush, if the mother had to do it, I don't know, but we did it. I don't think the son-in-law was willing to start off with the mother. It was a very funny thing. She was a yeshiva Brooklyn girl. So I got her Rav, I think it was Rav Khan from Avenue J, and Rebelski to make a Bezdin. And we went down, before we went to the mikvah, to tell her mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalais, and mitzvahs, mitzvahs, chamurais. So we're sitting there, so Rebelski, who was running the show, says, look, you know all the mitzvahs already, we're going to go through them. So I told Rebelski that I don't think it's correct. Where do we learn out you have to tell mitzvahs, mitzvahs, kalais, and chamurais? We learned from Rus. Rus was already from for 10 years, for a few years at the time of the... So you have to tell anyway. So Rebelski was masking, so he started telling her, you know, about Shabbos and about other mitzvahs. And then she's tevil. Now when she's tevil, Beis HaKfaris, I don't think so, but I had it with another family where, I had a family, a very strange story. The father of money got into a fight, into a bitter screaming match at home. And during the screaming match, the father tells the mother, you're adopted anyway. You're adopted anyway. Who knows who you are? So the girl, who was a girl's dating age, a regular frum girl, she comes to me because she doesn't want to tell me her last name. I don't know. You know, I didn't know at the time, though. She says, what do I do? She tells me the story. She says she went to her grandparents. Says, the true mommy's adopted? They said, yeah. They said after the war, they couldn't have children, and they adopted. So she said, how do you know she's Jewish? So she took out a paper from a certain, out of New York State, it was a Jewish Board of Family Services, it was a Jewish name. So gave the paper to the girl. The girl brings it to my house. There are no rabbanim involved, just an adapted. It's a Sufi, you know, a girl from the Shuk, they're really serious shaylos. They're a klal. It was a whole story till we ended up doing a geirus mesafik because it's a nice episode, a nice story. I'll tell you the truth. I went down the city in which this out of town city where this took place. The board of Jewish Family Service still exists, although it caters mostly to non Jews at the moment. And the rav in the town is a Tarav Das graduate, who I happen to know. So I called him, and we went out to meet. There are two ladies in charge of the files. And one lady's from and one's not. So first we met with the from one. I told her that I wouldn't ask you to break the law. But if you just step out of the room and show us where the files are, I told her, you know, I'm not violating the spirit of the law. I'm not looking to be Megala anything. So gradually she was masking. But she said the files are in the other lady's. These files from that long ago are in the other lady's room. So you have to go to the second one. The second one, her last name was Rajba. She says she's a descendant from a big rabbi, you know, the Rajba. But she was not maskemish, she didn't agree. She said she'll let the other lady see it. She said she'll see it. I said, you know, we have to have from people by Jewish law. So she'll let the other lady see it. It didn't help us much. So I went to Abel Yashiv at an appointment by him to ask him what to do. So someone filmed it, somebody filmed it with his telephone, our meeting. Rabbi Yashiv started to say what I thought. It's totally, there's a Gemara in Sugya, the Ksub is about Trey Ruby. You need two rives. It's not enough that they did rive, you need two rives. The question is how to define two rives. You remember, Ksub is Rive Ear and Rive Shiara. The question is how to define it. I'm pretty sure in the beginning, Rabbi Yashiv was saying that you could be Mekel. But then, like after he was talking for about a minute, he caught himself. He asked me, did you hire a lawyer? I said, no. He says, first hire a lawyer and see if you can get it released. I said, what happens if the lawyer is unsuccessful? He said, then you'll come back. You'll come back. So I told him, I'm an American, it's not so easy to come back. He said, Rabbi Efrati was there. He said, Rabbi Efrati will make sure you can get right in. That's what he told me. So I got a lawyer. I went to Avishik. We got a lawyer in that state. In that state, the law is crazy law. The only way you could reveal the records is if both the adoptive child and the parents request simultaneously for it to be released. Since they can't know each other, the odds of that ever happening are astronomical. Especially here, with the woman herself was in her 50s. I don't know if her natural parents are alive. Anyway, I'm digressing. I'm just telling you the excitement of being a Rav of Flatbush. But the question originally was how she's tevil. How do you make sure she's tevil? So the Rabbanim, the Bezna has to see the tefillah. So the answer is we take the sheet. The woman goes into the water, puts the sheet over her head, through her head. The sheet floats on the water for the most part. And she's tevil that way. The Bezna comes in when the sheet is floating on the water. And she's tevelis. And then the Bezna goes out. And that's the way she's tevil. Your bezin can't see every kamatim, all these things, but that's the accepted practice of the tefillah for
gerus. The suffic gerus, they don't make a bracha then? What did they do?
The suffic gerus, we did not make a bracha. And the ksav we gave was a ksav that it was a tefillah misafik. I went to a Reuven Feinstein, he's very involved in gerus. What happens if she dates a kayin? A gerus can't marry a kayin. So he felt that. That you can marry a kohen. There was no shiloh because the adoption was in the 50s. They were definitely rive Yehudim that they were servicing. So there only need one rive. The rabbani need two rives. So he felt at the end they invited me to the wedding. There she married. She didn't marry a kohen. And ultimately her younger siblings were tevil, and eventually the mother was tevil also. Was tevelis. We had the son. The son is learning in the local yeshiva. Boy, he must be about 20 at the time of the gerus. So he heard about this, you know, he was interested, not interested. So, you know, he's a boy who's used to the men's mikvahs. So he came to the mikvah, you know, he was tevil for geirus. He said, man, why don't I should always go to this mikvah, it's so beautiful, like, it's so beautiful. So Mila, we relied on the Ramban. There's a sheet in the Rishayin that's brought in the place where Ramash says he could be Samech on it, that if the Mila was a Shem Yadus, even if it wasn't a Shem geirus, it's good. If the Mila was done, it was a guy. And they just did a hospital meal, even the eighth day, it's not good. But if a meal was done, l'shem yados, so you could be saimach anytime they're sveikas, you could be saimach on it for.
The Baruch Hashem, they had a fight before the parents.
It's good the parents had a fight, yeah, to avoid it all the problems.
So much good
came out.
Yeah.
The original parents had, but they wouldn't tell us the name. They said it's an obviously Jewish name, but.
Is that a riot?
Today it's not, in the 50s maybe it was. But okay, today you might be a right for carrot.
My
Well, statistically, I don't know.
People are involved here. They said the people with the Jewish names have a very Shabbat.
Because the father.
Because 50% intermarriage. So if the father's Jewish, it means that the mother's a guy. The Italian names. I think they're doing a toughest time bris by Ethiopia. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. All right, next week, Yitzhak Hashem, we'll finish the Mikot Tzadik Fest.